Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And also Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 10, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me, Jesus said. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Billy Graham has said many, many times. In fact, he says it a lot. Being a Christian is not an easy thing. Amen. Our Sunday school lesson this morning dealt a little bit with that. We have troubles. We have trials. We have hard times. And yet, amidst all of that, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep living for the Lord. We're not supposed to let criticism or hardships or things of that nature discourage us or cause us not to be faithful to the Lord. And so that's what I want to be talking about today. Take up your cross. You got a cross. Jesus had a cross. You got a cross. I've got a cross. And we're challenged by God's word to take it up and follow the Lord. Trust the Lord. Obey the Lord. And he'll be with us. He does not say it's going to be easy. In fact, the days we're living in now, it's going to be even more difficult, I'm afraid. In fact, I think it's going to get very, very serious as time progresses. These words we just shared with you are the words of Christ himself. Of course, I believe if John had said it, or Matthew, or Paul, it had the same meaning, the same impact. Because all Scripture is of God, amen? It's God-breathed. But when I read it, when Jesus himself says it, you know, I mean, we're getting it right straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Yes, sir. He breathed it. Yes. It would do well for us to listen then if Jesus said this, take up your cross and follow me. Don't let anything get you off track. What is it that's trying to get you off track? Think about it. First of all, the devil's going to try to get you off track. Also, self-interest will get you off track if you're not careful. What I want. What I want might not be what the Lord wants. So, you got a cross that the Lord gives you. And it's not necessarily going to be easy. For some, it's more difficult than for other people. So Jesus said, if one does not take up his cross and follow him, he's not worthy of him. If you're not willing to suffer for him, look how he suffered for me and you. And so as Easter is on the horizon, I thought it would be well for us to begin kind of looking at themes of thought centered around the cross. And I just want you to sit there this morning and listen. And listen with all your heart and mind and focus upon what is it the Lord has called me to do. Where am I at in life? I'm to be faithful there. The challenges that I face, I'm to be faithful to the Lord and serve the Lord. Christ had to carry his own cross to a place of execution. And he fainted from fatigue and exaltation because his cross was that heavy. His cross was that difficult. He was literally had a cross on his back. And his back had been beaten to the bones was bare. To carry, it was difficult. It was also disgraceful for someone to have to carry their cross to a place of execution. And that's what he was called on to do, take his own cross to where he was going to be crucified. And that's like today, equivalent to a police officer shot with his own gun by the crook. Part of the punishment Jesus had to suffer was taking his own cross. So sometimes we too must endure what's difficult to be a Christian. We've got to take a stand. We've got to take a stand. It might be disgraceful or embarrassing, but we've got to take a stand. We've got to do what's right and live the way God calls us to live. It's our responsibility and our duty as believers to follow Jesus. So as you get your Bibles down and read in the book of John, for example, read the words of Christ. Listen to what he's saying. Look at who he's saying it to. What he's telling them to do. He's the same Lord telling us what to do, how to live. And we're not to live a life that denies him. We're to live a life that's faithful to him. It does not consist now of making trouble for ourselves or asking for trouble or doing things to be merely opposed. No. It's doing just what is required of us according to the Scriptures. So let it produce whatever shame, disgrace, or pain it might be, living for the Lord, taking a stand. We must stand up for Jesus as we live every day, wherever we're at. Remember the lady several years ago in Kentucky who was harassed because she would not give marriage license to gays in Kentucky. Boy, they were on her case hot and heavy. But you know what? She wouldn't give up. She kept her stand. And finally, they had to make arrangements that suited her. Amen? And that's what's wrong with our society today. It's falling apart because some Christians in right places have not been standing up for what's right. Amen. Our politicians, for example. Yes, sir. Sometimes it's not popular to stand and be criticized. This is whatever but follower of Christ is required to do. We are all saved to obey and serve the Lord. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, or any person, let him deny himself. Forget about ourselves. We're on a journey. Where are we going? We're going to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. Our Sunday school lesson today was talking about all those that they're on their way to everlasting destruction. You see, we're not in this world. This is not our heaven here, folks. This is not our paradise here. We're just passing through here We don't need to get too rooted here. We need to remember heaven is my home. Now, one day the new earth is where we're going to be living, but it'll be with a different government, I'll assure you. Amen. It'll be a righteous government. We are saved to obey and serve the Lord. This seems to be overlooked a lot today. How do I serve the Lord, you say? That don't mean you got to be a preacher. That don't mean you got to be a teacher. You serve the Lord by being the best wife in the county. You could serve the Lord by being the best husband in the county. Setting the right example. Raising your family right. We were in Walmart's. Was it yesterday? A little old boy. Boy, if he'd have been my young'un, I'd have knocked him in the next week. He had a long thing she got it. His mother got him. And he was just a flopping that thing. He even hit his mother on the breast with it. I'd have knocked him in the next week. People don't raise their young'uns no more. You could be the best parents. Raise your young'uns right. I'll tell you what, my young'uns never did that. Not even the first time. They're kind of like that cat Faye's got at the house. Faye's got a cat at the house. Oh, won't you let me in? I want to come in with you, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she lets him in. And I'm sitting there in my recliner, and I start to get up. Boy, it scares the devil out of him. He'll head for that door. He's scared to death of me because I took him to the vet one time, you know. And he don't like me since. But children should fear their parents and respect their parents and obey their parents, folks. I'm telling y'all the truth. And that's what's wrong with our country today. We got generations of children that's not been raised, and they're leaders today, but they're not good leaders. I didn't mean to preach this part, but thank you, Lord. Your cross might not be like mine. Nor mine like your cross. What God asked you to do. First of all, God asked you to live right. Right? You're supposed to be in church. You're supposed to be praying, studying the Word of God. You're supposed to be good on the job, on time. What was it? You said you got there 1 minute after time.
You can clock in at 7:01.
You're supposed to be at church on time. Amen. We take in at 10 o'clock. Amen. Nobody ain't amen. What's the matter? I'm serious. The Lord's keeping a record of our conduct, folks. That's what I'm supposed to do. What do you, preacher, what do you mean I must bear my cross? God has a plan for your life. And you will be called upon to be faithful no matter what God calls for in your life. Keep being that faithful Christian. How faithful you and I live out God's plan for our life will determine if we please the Lord or not. Remember, God is sovereign and everything is under His control or permissive will. Whatever God lets come into your life, He's allowed it or permitted it. Because He controls everything. We're called to sanctify ourselves and be separate from the world. Don't look like the world. We were in the Walmart yesterday, and the way people dress, and now it's getting time for them to be naked in there, right? Boy, that's a witness for the Lord. You know, even in heaven, you're going to have to wear robes. Did y'all know that? You're not going to be allowed to go naked in heaven. You like that, Danielle? You got to wear a robe all the way down to the floor. God's a holy God, folks. I'm not talking about a God that's, well, I want you to be comfortable up here with me. He ain't going to do that. Where are you getting his thoughts, folks? By the way, how we live determines if I get any rewards when I get to heaven. Yeah, because we do not listen to the word of God or listen, and we listen to false teachings, we can disobey God, and this is sin. This is sin. Think of what the Lord has done for us. How many of y'all ever think about, just think about, seriously think about what God did for you? Lay in your bed at night and just think about what God did for you. I'm not talking about what he's doing for you today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God did for you when he volunteered to suffer the kind of death he suffered for you, for me, what he had to go through. Folks, there's no words to describe it. And I think about this also. I think about as a young person when he finally realized the Father's will for his life. That was on his mind all the time. I tell you what, when I find out I got to go to the dentist a week or two in advance, it bothers me till I get it over with. But think about what the Lord had to think about that all the time. And even the night before, he's kneeling in the garden begging God, Lord, if there's any other way. He's begging so hard his sweat like drops of blood on him. Now that's pressure, folks. And he did it for me and you. And he didn't have to. Boy, you're a loved person. Did you know that? Look at that person's idea and say, the Lord loves me. Amen? Boy. I tell you what a Lord, what a God we serve. He's given us peace. He's forgiven us. He's given us eternal life. I lay in the bed at night and I think about it. I'm going to live forever in a paradise. And no more. I won't have no electric bills anymore. And the water pump won't tear up. Amen. Folks, you got it made if you're a Christian. You're a Christian? Live for the Lord. As that old saying is, let it all hang out. Living for the Lord. Listen, he's promised us a home in heaven with him. And over to Revelation, get this. We know we're going to see Jesus, but the Bible says we're going to see the face of God. Now, nobody's never saw the face of God but Jesus. Boy, that's going to be an awesome event to see God Almighty. Wow, what awaits us, folks. How blessed you are. How blessed you are. So, why should we not cheerfully take up our cross and patiently bear our cross for his sake? Live the life God gives me for his glory, in other words. The life God's give you, leave it for his glory. Yes, you're going to face challenges, but look to the Lord. Just like I told you the other day, I got the predicament out here, and I looked up into the face of the Lord, and I said, listen now, you said you'd help me. Over the years, I've got a little bit more bold. You can call on the Lord. Put your confidence in Him, because He really cares. Just like that song my brother sang, and I love that song. He cares for us. He's always with us. Satan is cheating and deceiving many people of their blessings when they fail to bear their cross. Did you ever work for your mom and dad when you was growing up? And it was hard, maybe out in the field, and you were hot, but you worked real hard. Y'all worked together as a big, happy family. And when you got done, you could see your parents just smile, so happy that you'd got that task did. Oh, I saw it so many times. And recently, I've just wished I could just wrap my arms around my old dad's neck again. I think about how hard it was for him, us four children. He was so good to us. We worked hard. Oh, yes, we worked hard. We never had a time we didn't work. But I just see Daddy, that smile, that we had got that job done, whatever it was. God told Paul that he was going to suffer for his sake. I want y'all to get this morning in your hearts and your minds. God told Paul to up front, Paul, you're going to suffer for me. How anybody here like to suffer? Now, Paul was an educated man. And we all know his history, how he persecuted the church. But now he's got converted. God tells him, Paul, you're going to suffer. In 2 Corinthians 11, turn to there in your Bible, because I want to read these verses to you, because I think it fits as we think about taking up your cross. This is what Paul had to take up, folks. And you know what? There's lots of Christians down through history and even today, they're having to suffer tremendously for the cause of Jesus Christ and because they're faithful to the Lord. You and I, we're having it rather easy. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes with lead pellets on the end of those leather thongs, peeling the skin off of your back. How many times did he get that done to him? Five times. Wow. Can you imagine the scars on the apostles' back? Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea and among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst, in fasting oft, and in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all those churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He was still praising the Lord after all that suffering he was called upon. He was bearing his cross for the Lord. Boy, he'll get rewarded one day, won't he, folks? And then you know what happened to him, don't you? He had his head chopped off. So when Jesus said we must take up our cross, he was indicated that the living Christian's life was not an easy thing. He was hated. He was despised. He was called names. He was rejected. That's our Lord. I think that hurt him as much as anything. He came to his own people and he was hated. And he was rejected. That's a painful thing to be rejected. We're all spoiled, aren't we? We have been led to think God loves me and he'll give me whatever I want. You know, some churches preach that. God's not going to necessarily give you what you want. Because God knows that we don't think right. God's got something better to give us than what we want. His plan is a better plan. Did you know God's plan for your life is better than what we plan for our life? Well, we don't think like that. That's because our thinking is not right, folks. Our thinking is not right. God wants you to serve him right where you're at. Not when you get somewhere else. God wants to you to serve him right where you're at today. Are you willing to serve the Lord where you're at today in life? God wants you to turn your life over to him and allow him to use you. What does that mean? That means you got to come into your mind and realize, Lord, I have decided from this day forward, I'm commit myself to you to do what you want. And you give yourself to the Lord, and you just start living for the Lord, and he'll take over. He might keep leading you where you're at, but the chances are he might lead you to something better. But it might be a surprise to what the better is. Amen? Listen, I didn't just read it in the book. I've experienced it in life. So I know what I'm talking about. Have you ever honestly said to the Lord, take my life and use it the way you want? We have our missionaries that come in here. That's what happened to them. The Lord gets to work in their life and they wind up in Africa or they wind up in Australia or somewhere. And you know what? They're tickled to death. They found out what God wanted. The best place in the world to be in life is where God wants you. But you have to determine, Lord, I want you to have your way and turn your life over to him. Anyone who says living the Christian life is easy don't know what they're talking about. In 1 Peter 4, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at that. Because, boy, this is a scripture and a half. This is what Peter said. Now, he had a little bit of experience about suffering, too, for the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and down in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Sounds like trouble, don't it? As though some strange things happen unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. When we suffer, we're partaking of Christ's suffering. We're being identified with Christ, who suffered for us. Amen? that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceedingly joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Somebody cusses you out, just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They just give you a blessing. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he's speaking of evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Tend to your own business, Peter said. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And we know what's going to happen to them. They're going to experience the eternal wrath of God. And as we were talking in the Sunday school lesson this morning, folks, in the lake of fire forever is a long time. People in prison, they get a life prison sentence. Well, at least they know when they die they'll be out of prison. But if you're in the lake of fire, you're never going to get out. Forever is a long time. It means forever, as our lesson told. You know, you can witness to other people. Trina was talking to me before church today. Apparently she's being witness to somebody. The discussion she was talking about was, can a Christian commit suicide and go to heaven? Well, most people say, no, you couldn't go to heaven if you kill yourself. Well, the Bible don't say that. Samson killed himself. He even asked God, let me die when I pulled this temple down on me. No, that killing yourself don't keep you from going to heaven if you've been saved. Killing yourself is works. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, folks. If you don't believe it, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. If God ever saves you, you've been given eternal life. That's forever, folks. God don't take it back. Now, that person may lose rewards if they killed herself, but people can really get so depressed and under such pressure that the devil can deceive them into killing themselves. But that don't mean they're lost. Not eternally lost. Not if they were saved. Only God knows that. So don't go judge somebody because they took their own life. They went to hell. No, not necessarily. Ain't it good to know that, folks? Ain't it good to know what the good book says? Amen. Men, you shouldn't hang around those that tells dirty jokes. Women should keep your body properly dressed and be careful about gossip. Many women can learn to tithe. Do you tithe? Do you support the Lord's work like you ought to? You can do that as a Christian. Stand out on faith. Be faithful to the Lord's church. Read your Bible and study it day, every day. It's amazing how the Bible will open up to you as you stay in it. And let me tell you something else about this old book here. It says what it means, and it means what it says. We take the Bible literal unless it otherwise indicate it's not literal. Generally speaking, the Bible is literal. It's not mystical and written so it cannot be understood. You yourself determine how committed you want to be to the Lord. You determine it. I don't determine it. That's your decision. How committed do you want to serve the Lord? How much can God trust you with? By your prayer time, by his Bible study time, you can gain great knowledge of the Lord, and the Lord can get very real to you. He can get very real to you. I've said before, over the years, I've refrained from taking jobs that would keep me out of church on Sunday. When I was working at a textile plant, I first started working, we made $40 a week, $1 an hour. Boy, I was raking it in. That was in 1956, I believe it was, 57. It wasn't long after that, I got a phone call, and a guy offered me $100 a week where I could work for him. But you know, if I worked for him, I'd have to be handling beer products. They sold beer where that job was at. So I didn't take that job. I just kept my $40 a week job. Sometimes it'll cost you to serve the Lord. You know, you're not put here to see how much money you can make. You're put here to serve the Lord. And that's one thing with our society today, money's the thing. I want me a high-paying job. Is that what God wants? Every good-paying job is not of God. Do I need to repeat that? Every good-paying job is not of God, folks. The devil offers and gives jobs to Christians to keep them out of God's will. Did you know that? He's a smart rascal. He does this to keep you from being where God wants you. So it hurts your testimony. I wasn't in church because I had to work. Did you really had to work? Or you could have took another job making less money so you could serve the Lord? I've had to work to support myself as a minister. I've taken low-paying jobs over the years to keep from interfering with it. I'm not complaining. It's amazing how God has blessed us. I think about all the hospital bills I've had. Great day in the morning. Duke, Lumberton. I don't ever get a bill, Brother Chavis. It's amazing, ain't it? I don't ever get a bill. God just, if you serve the Lord makes a way. Making a big paycheck is not life's goal, but pleasing the Lord is to be life's goal. It is our own choosing on how committed we want to be in order to serve the Lord. How committed, how much do you want to serve the Lord? Folks, the Lord is a real person. He made us for himself. Do we understand he made us for himself? Faye's got a cat for herself. I sure don't want that cat for myself. But God made us to please Him, to serve Him, to love Him. God has perished to death for me to love Him. Do we as humans understand that? Everyone in this building wants somebody to love them. Well, God wants you to love Him too. That's why He made you. And gave you the capacity to love. Today we're living in this easy believism Christianity. I'm afraid that if the rapture was to happen in a lot of places, there'd be a lot of people left behind in the church. We have too many believers who do not want to take responsibility to do anything for the Lord. The Word of God says you are to be a good, godly husband, a godly wife, and we are to give our best in our work to support ourselves. Give our employees the best we can do, give them. I feel sorry for some of these employers who have people driving their trucks and cars, the way the employees treat their transportation. They don't look after it. When I worked with mental health and then later with community center and then later with COG in the county transportation, when I was the manager over all those departments, those bus drivers was told every morning, you check that oil in them engines. You know what? Very few would ever check their oil. They were supposed to let me know when they had got the amount of miles on it so that oil would be changed. You see, all of our life is exposed to the Lord as Christian people. And I'm talking about to encourage you and to challenge you, not to beat you over the head. That's not my purpose. It's to build you up, make you stop and look at yourself. What am I doing? How am I living? Am I giving my master the best? Or am I trying to take shortcuts? Some carpenters will give you a sloppy job to take and get out as quick as they can. We got too much of that. And in other places. Folks, we're Christians. We're serving the Lord of glory. We want to please Him. We want to hear Him say, well done, when I walk into His presence. That's going to be the greatest thing that could ever happen. Well done, when He sees you. Don't you want that? Don't you want to please God Almighty? It's going to be too late when you get there to wish you had. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, we're surrendering our lives to Him, to follow Him, and serve Him. Do we understand that in Christendom today? I don't believe we do. When we accept Jesus, we no longer belong to ourselves. He just purchased us off the slave market of sin. Yes, sir. Amen. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6 is so important. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Did you know God's living inside of you? Which you have of God, and ye are not your own. There it is in black and white. You read that? Underline that. For you are bought with a price. The blood of Jesus bought you. The Son of God bought you. Bought you off of the slave market of sin. You were headed for hell and judgment. And you've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. Now you no longer belong to yourself. You got a new master now. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Apostle Paul had this experience with one of his helpers in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me. Think about a worker leaving him, Brother Chavis. I've had several to leave me out here. Just started off strong with a bang. It hurts. People leave dissatisfied or problems in their lives. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. That is the problem with too many Christians today. They love this present world. I'm living for what I can get out of this world. Well, that's why God put you here. He lived you to serve Christ. Christians will get indebted with big payments on cars, houses, things, but fail to obligate themselves to the Lord. I'm not going to obligate myself to the Lord. I might not can make that, but I'll pay X payments for a car or a house or something else. But not the Lord. I'm not going to do, not for the Lord. I might not hold out. And they'll say that about getting saved, won't they? Won't they, Brother Chavis?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Won't you like to trust Christ today? No, I might not hold out. You won't. I'm not holding out either. He's holding on, amen. When you get saved, he holds on. He ain't going to let you go. He had to die to get you. You think he's going to let you go, brother? Huh? Where's your school Bible knowledge at? Oh, Lord, I could go on all day. Remember what Jesus did? At the age of 33, Jesus took time to go by the cross. To be jeered, sneered. Have his beard plucked out. Thorn crowns put on his head. Beaten the back with all those stripes. Mocked. Made to carry his own cross. Then been hung naked on a cross. But he took time out to do that because of me. You're that important to the Lord. Did you know you're an important person?
Amen.
You're important. You were made in the image of God. Aren't you glad God loves you?
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk about the future just a little bit. In the coming days, I'm fearful we're going to see some difficult times in our country. Our politicians have sold this country out. But even worse, hear me, the churches fail. We've got I'm not knowledgeable enough to make a prediction, but there's a very few churches that I believe is real Bible churches anymore. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I won't read it, but in Revelation 3, talking about the church of the Laodiceans, the self-satisfied church, the rich church, the church that had everything. They had everything but the Lord. The Lord standing outside trying to get in. I believe that's the way it is in a lot of churches today. The Lord's trying to get in. Nobody won't open the door. No, we're satisfied with what we got. We're doing good. 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God says, I want you who have accepted my Son as your Savior, I want you to live a holy life. I want you to live a godly life because I'm a holy God. What will carrying our cross produce for us? Peace, joy, contentment, assurance, confidence, meaning, purpose in life, and also pleasing God. That's what it'll accomplish. There's nothing like having peace and contentment and having meaning and purpose in life. There's nothing like that, folks. Money won't buy it. In closing, follow Christ in loving people. Love people. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to fellowship with them. We love people by praying for them, by treating them right. Jesus loved the Pharisees, but he called them hypocrites, didn't he? Follow Christ in giving of our lives. He gave his life. We're to give our life to serve him wherever he puts you at. Where he puts you at in life, serve him. Follow Christ in selflessness. Don't be a selfish person. Don't try to get the biggest piece of pie. I want it. You hear me? Don't be selfish. We're such selfish creatures. I deserve it. Who said I deserve it? Who said I deserve it? I did. But that's not right, is it? What we deserve, Christ has spared us from by his sacrifice. Amen. Follow Christ in the Father's will. Say, Lord, I just want to do what you want. Ever what you want, Lord. Turn your life over to the Lord. Trust him. You can trust him. Follow Christ in sharing the gospel of the Savior. Get out tracts, CDs, books, witness, share Christ. Lastly, how close will you walk with the Savior? How close will you walk with the Savior? Jesus had a cross to bear. And never forget, you too are required to carry your own cross. And how well you carry it, how well I carry it, will determine how well we please the Lord. And the blessed rewards that we'll receive one day when we go meet the Lord. Loving God, you told us in your word to take up our cross. That each of us has a cross. Today we've tried to remind your children that a cross is something that's been assigned to each and every one of us. And how faithful I serve my Lord, my God, will determine how I please my Lord and my God. It'll also determine how much peace and contentment and meaning and purpose I have in my heart each day. Bless, challenge. May you get honor and glory out of this message. For Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Trust the Lord to speak to hearts today. Our altar is always open. You want to come talk to the Lord this morning? Pray for someone that needs the Lord? You want to come commit yourself to a closer walk with the Lord?